As I begin this morning, I want to thank all of our volunteers who helped with the reception for Virginia Cromwell this past week and for the O'Leary family for during Mark's celebration of his life Friday. One of the families said to me the first words out of their mouth at the grave when I was greeting the family was to thank you for all of your hospitality and all the care that you have extended to these families, and so I thank you on their behalf. We continue this morning in a series of sermons on the theme, The Edge of Tomorrow, or On the Edge of Tomorrow. As I have thought about this theme more and more, it sounds like a bad soap opera to me. There was one years ago, As the World Turns, right? This is On the Edge of Tomorrow. And I think it's a good theme. I think it fits where we are in our life just now, all of our lives. This is the third sermon in the series, and I've entitled it, When Our Lives Feel Suspended. There are two scripture readings. The first is from the book of Proverbs, and then I'll be turning to 2 Corinthians. But first, listen to God's word to us from the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, at chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And then in 2 Corinthians, a piece in chapter 4 that's entitled in many Bibles, Living by Faith, beginning at verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Before the prayer this morning, I would say to you, in this series, we have been reflecting on this sort of human experience about turning points and waiting and being caught in between times, feeling in the days and moments of our lives just now that we are somehow suspended in animation. We are called to embrace the new, but we still have to let go of the past. And so we feel this in-between time right now. And as we do that, let us come to a time of prayer before the message. Oh Lord, give us ears to hear from your word this morning and eyes, new eyes to see. We need your help to see life the way you see it, O Lord. We need your help to see more like grace, more like love, and more like faith in all of life. We need your grace to see more like Jesus and less like me. Open our eyes and ears in Christ's name. Amen. I want to continue now to give you some examples of those times in our lives when we feel we are in transition or in between times. I shared with you in the first sermon in this series that adolescence is a good example. It's one of these times when we are almost but not quite there. The very definition of an adolescent is someone who is half child, half adult, or at least part child and part adult. You know this is true. When talking to an adolescent, young people, sometime they can amaze us by the very profound things that they say, the wise choices that they often make. And then 2 minutes later, after hearing something profound one of them has said, we hear something often that's very immature or very selfish or very short-sighted. Sometimes we behave that way, sadly. But for a teenager, there's nothing bad about that experience. It's just a part of the process of growing up. But life can seem, for a teen at least, or an adolescent, like life is suspended. They're just not quite there yet. And then, of course, we know about bereavement. Someone you love dies, and you are in a time of transition, right? You have to let go. But your emotions have trouble letting go. Your emotions have trouble letting you move forward. You wonder at a time of bereavement, a time of loss, if there is a future out there with meaning and purpose without that loved one. You know things move forward, but you are not ready. Life feels as if it's suspended during these times. Some of you remember what it's like being at some point in life between jobs, and it felt like you were in limbo because you had left one job experience, one employer, one business, and yet you were yearning for a new job, but it wasn't begun yet, or it hadn't arrived yet, or the time hadn't come yet. Waiting can be difficult. It's like feeling like you're caught in between times. There is a recording artist from Nigeria who has written an interesting poem about waiting. His name is Abimole Alabi, and this is what he writes. Life can seem like an endless maze, the twists and turns, the lulls and delays, but things always fall into place in good time. Life can be tough, there's no doubt, but hope is the thing we can't do without. Right things with joy will come about in good time. I like his words. They ring true, they are honest, but they are also hopeful. Life can seem suspended with its twists and turns, its lulls and its delays. I'm thinking this morning about the Paralympics. I read about it in the paper this morning. One lady had lost both of her legs from a terrorist bomb, and she was in one of the Olympic events. She will be this week. I can assure you there was a time in her life, if you read about her story, that her life was suspended with all the rehab and all that she had to go through, but she has moved forward. She has moved forward to celebrate life in the Paralympics. Older people know about this anxiety of being in between times. Many have to transition sometimes from their homes. Perhaps they can't remember to take their own medications. I'm needing some help with that just now myself. But sometimes they need help at home when they're by themselves. And when that happens, anxiety can come. It can mount during times of uncertainty when change is coming and moves are taking place. One of my favorite illustrations about all of this comes from the story of a trapeze artist in a circus. They are swinging on a trapeze high above the floor of the circus tent. They must let go of one trapeze just at the right moment. And then for a moment they hover in the void before catching hold of the other trapeze. They have to let go of one support, be suspended for a moment, and then seize the new opportunity there. They have to claim it. Well, what do we do? What do we do when our lives feel suspended? For sooner or later, all of us will feel that way. I'm sure many of us feel that way just now with the mask wearing and all the things that we should be doing to keep ourselves and others safe. Do we wear a mask? Do we not? Do we do this? Do we not do that? It's a time in which we feel suspended, ready to move forward, but we're not quite ready yet, at least not full speed. Well, what can we do? Well, first, perhaps it's time in our lives, in the lives even of the Christian church, to accept what we have lost. We do need at some point to let go of the past. We cannot go backward. It would be unhealthy, would it not? Unhealthy, indeed sick, to try to hang on always to yesterday and the way things used to be. Nostalgia. Nostalgia is the attitude that romanticizes what was but can't be again. We even idolize past days, and we idolize those who we love. In a modern play, a mother who is dying says to her children, "Love me enough to remember me as I was, not as you imagine I was." One of my favorite stories that I've only shared once before with you. You'll be glad about this. It's an old story of a preacher in a country church, and he announced one Sunday, "There is no one perfect, no, not one." And a man in the balcony stood up and he said, "Preacher, you have never met my wife's first husband." When times were tough in the wilderness and Moses was leading the people forward, you will remember what the cry was. Every time he tried to move them forward in a transition, they said, "Let's go back to Egypt." Egypt. They forgot about the hard life in Egypt, the slavery there, and they imagined that it was a trouble-free time. The way is always forward. We cannot go back in life. And oh yes, even for Northwood, we will climb out of this pandemic as we're doing now, slowly but surely, as other churches are trying to do as well. But the point is, we will always be moving forward, not backward. Hopefully, going on forward to something new. Hopefully, improved. But rest assured, we can't go back exactly to how things were before. God calls us to move forward, leading in the march. He calls us to move forward to a land that He promises. Well, secondly, we have to let go sometimes to that which is when yesterday and that which has been lost. But secondly, remember that God is able to hold on to you not only in the in-between time, not only in the past, but also in the future. In those days that come when you are stressed and feel like life is suspended, know that God is holding on to you. God is on the journey with us. Ah, but you say, "That's the problem, Pastor. I don't feel like God is with me," especially during the time we're in just now. You know what counselors call that feeling? In transition times, they call it loss of faith times, loss of confidence, loss of faith. But sometimes in life, the flag flies half-mast, half-mast. But even God is able to be with you. Don't let your feelings decide whether God's presence is with you or not. God is always present, whether you feel it or not. And this is why we can rejoice in our Reformed Presbyterian tradition. It's not a feel-good faith. It depends upon the facts. And the facts are that Scripture affirms all along that God abides with us, that the Lord is with us. Well, thirdly, even when you feel life is suspended, I encourage you to anticipate the promised land that is ahead. In other words, anticipate God's victory and claim that victory in the present. Even when you can't feel it, claim that victory. Trust God ahead of time. God will get you through it, through those times that you feel suspended in midair. That's temporary. That is transition. And when that transition ends, there is growth, and growth is not always comfortable. But becoming new, it can be stressful, but it comes. I remember one church member in a church I served long ago. She became a good friend. She had just turned 65, and she had retired as one of the administrators in the local college. Her husband was an acclaimed professor in that college. He led the music department and had many awards, and he surprised her just a month after her retirement with divorce papers. And then a few months later, he remarried a woman half his age. The town was shocked. The college was shocked. The church was shocked. And Margie, she felt betrayed, and she should have. I remember the days that came after that, the weeks, the months, and her pouring out her heart. All the plans for retirement had been lies. A few years later, she said to me, she said, "Pastor," she said, "at some point, loneliness and betrayal in my retirement years almost got the best of me. But I have learned in the struggle to redirect my life and not just put it on hold. She said, with the help of friends, with the help of my adult children and their children, I have become conscious of a new grace that comes from God. Grace in a new way. She said, I have been given what I am calling now a mini resurrection in my retirement years. Isn't that great? We have a God who majors in new life coming out of old, new life coming out of a time of brokenness. Even when something dies, we can trust that something within us can be and will be born again because of the promises of God. And that's what I wish for you this morning. For anyone who feels that their life is somehow, in some way, at any stage of life, suspended, let go and let God hang on to you and then step out confidently in each new day. Why? Because there can be a mini resurrection coming in this life for you. For God's grace is always at work in your life, leading us to a place and guiding us with His grace, right? Even when you think at times life is suspended. Pray with me as we close this morning. Oh Lord, as we close this time with prayer and prepare to go out into the world, give us your wisdom to trust in you, O Lord, with all of our hearts and to not rely on our own insights. In all our ways, help us to acknowledge you, knowing that you, O Lord, will make straight our paths. In Christ's name, amen.